Translation. As Shukracharya listened to what had happened to Devayani, his mind was very much aggrieved. Condemning the profession of priesthood and praising the profession of Unchavritti, collecting grains from the field, he left home with his daughter. Responsively, please. As Shukracharya listened to what had happened to Devayani, his mind was very much aggrieved. Condemning the profession of priesthood and praising the profession of Unchavritti, collecting grains from the fields, he left home with his daughter. Purport. When a Brahmin adopts the profession of a kapota, or pigeon, he lives by collecting grains from the field. This is called Unchavritti. A Brahmin who takes to this Unchavritti profession is called first class because he depends completely on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and does not beg from anyone. Although the profession of begging is allowed for a Brahmin or sannyasi, one does better if he can avoid such a profession and completely depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for maintenance. Shukracharya was certainly very sorry that, because of his daughter's complaint, he had to go to his disciple to beg some mercy, which he was obliged to do because he had accepted the profession of priesthood. In his heart, Shukracharya did not like his profession. But since he'd accepted it, he was obliged to go unwillingly to his disciple to settle the grievance submitted by his daughter. So it's quite striking in this verse that there's a great absence of compassion and affection and love and any sense of feeling for anyone else involved apart from, you know, what's going on in our own little family. Generally, when a daughter has relationship with friends or a son has relationship with friends, when the friends come to the house, the mother is, and the, you know, the parents, they're just so happy to see the children together that they see the children equally, and they don't, you know, they'll go out of their way to make it really nice for the child's friend. And that's, you know, very natural and very normal. I expect everybody as a child had that experience of going to someone's house, and the parents would be like all gooey and lovely, and, you know, the best was put out for the guest, for the visitor, even in a small body. So here we have Shukracharya, who seems to be completely dominated by his daughter. The relationship between the father and the daughter is very, very important. What could be more harmful to a child who is naturally loving and giving and adoring the parents? What could be more harmful than that the parent does not reciprocate? It can be very, very damaging to a person. They can actually grow up with all kinds of difficulties and problems because they didn't have that normal, natural outlet for their own love and affection, and it was actually crippled in some sense. So because Devayani is actually allowed to set the scene, she's allowed to control her father in one sense. He's blaming the profession of priesthood, almost like, I am absolutely forced to go and have a go at my disciple because the two little girls have had a fight. And instead of being able to stand back and see how ridiculous this all is, he actually gets involved and starts taking sides and starts taking part. You know, one might really ask, where is the good intelligence? If grandmother was around or if mother was around, Would she perhaps be more inclined to say, look, something really brilliant has come out of this. It was actually going to be quite difficult for you to get a husband because you've been cursed not to marry a Brahmin and a Kshatriya may not be too... And in fact, that was the case. Yayati wasn't really that keen in the sense, you know, that it wasn't probably a good match, but he was attracted to her, so he agreed. So you can see here, instead of standing back and saying, okay, let's just analyze the situation, what's happened here. Okay, you did get thrown in the well, but you're out now. And not only that, you've come out with a husband, which was a totally unexpected event for this day. So perhaps the father would be inclined to say, forget the girl, you know, let's dwell on what really good has happened. Let's go visit your future husband and start making plans and start, you know, seeing how this will pan out. And, you know, he said he's going to marry you. Is he really going to marry you? Let's, you know, let's get this down. So there's always a choice. And for ourselves, I think we can always look when perhaps rage or bad feelings come up. We can perhaps always look and stand back and just look at what's happening here. Because many of us will have unresolved feelings within our heart. We will have anattas, rage, anger, fear. And sometimes, in quite an innocent situation, these things can come out. And we can find ourselves going down that pathway. Sometimes they call it road rage or, you know, something very small happens. And it brings out a volcano of emotions and feelings, and we can actually lose our transcendental consciousness at that point. There are three gates leading to hell: karma, krodhas, tatar, lobhas, lust, anger, and greed. And a sane person must give up these things. Tasmad etam trayam chajet. These three gates, they must be given up, because they lead to degradation of the soul. Now, we're perhaps all in a situation where through millions and millions of lifetimes, we have taken on things which have degraded our soul. Dvaram, nashanam, atmanaha. These things, these three gates, dvaram, they lead to nashanam, the degradation of the soul, bringing us down below our proper standard, below what we are actually meant to be. I remember once I was teaching in the Isle of Dogs, and, you know, it wasn't really a very brilliant area. In fact, the school had the reputation of being like one of the worst in the country. And one day in one of my classrooms, there were two young girls fighting, and they were actually drawing blood, you know. They were scratching each other. And I actually had to give them a little slap to bring them back to their senses. Of course, you'd probably go to prison these days for hitting a kid. But it worked. But in one sense, you didn't expect very much more from these girls. They were in situation, probably not very good families, not very good social situation. But here we have the daughter of a Brahmin and the daughter, okay, he's a demon king, but he's a king. So we perhaps would have expected perhaps that they would show their intelligence a little bit more. When Devayani was in the well, thrown in the well by her friend, probably her best friend, she took it incredibly seriously. And there were 1,000 other girls there. Some of them must have seen what had happened and probably went home and told their families. I don't think her life was actually in danger. I think it was inevitable. It couldn't have been a very deep well, because King Yayati just pulled her out with his hand. So I don't think the situation was very dangerous. And Devayani was actually able to control her emotions when it suited her. So Yayati pulled her out of the well, and she has a nice conversation with him, saying this whole situation has been arranged by Providence. You've touched my hand, you know, basically we should get married. And it's all been arranged by Providence. And Yayati says, yes, it's all been arranged by Providence. It's maybe not the best thing, but it's been arranged by Providence. It wasn't our choice. We've been brought together like this, so we should do that. And then by the time she's gone out, she's been pulled out of the well, she's met her future husband, she's very pleased with him. And by the time she gets home, somehow, mysteriously, when she sees her father, she's able to conjure up all the tears again. Now, were these real tears? Or was this something? I know I can control my father if I have a little tantrum here. I know he's going to do exactly what I want him to do. This is the example of someone who should not be allowed to be in control. But because of the attachment, which is incredibly strong, we all have experience of it being attached to people and how that attachment can be so bewildering and so strong. So she has a really good cry, and he seems to just become, he said it's much aggrieved, but it seems that he's more irritated and he starts blaming his profession. And, you know, because I'm a priest, I have to go. And he seems to be more irritated. I wish I wasn't a priest. If I just had to beg in the field, I wouldn't have to deal with this. Instead of being able to think about it and deal with it in a proper way, he seems to be forced. And it's due to the fact that he would rather go and put his disciple in place and be at the mercy of his daughter than to live with a teenage daughter who's not very happy with him, who's having a tantrum. And this can happen to all of us. As a parent, I can definitely vouch for this. Rather than actually confront the problem and say, look, you're just not having that, you're just not doing that, going along with it because then, you know, I'm the nice person, they're going to still like me. Whereas, you know, if she was told, you're not allowed to do this, it's just not proper, then he has to live with her sulking. Who wants to live with a sulking teenage daughter? Not very many people. So rather than actually face some little discomfort for himself, he is prepared to, you know, go into something which is much heavier and much deeper and has such long-term repercussions. Sometimes in Asda, you see, you know, the little guy, two-year-old, and he's seen all the sweets as you go through the checkout, and he wants something. And he's actually on the floor, and he's kicking his legs, and he's screaming, and it seems like the whole population of the shop is looking at mum. What a cruel mum. How could she, you know? But actually, you know, you see the mother who is, you're not having it, and is able to stand by that and is able to stick by the courage of her conviction. The next time the child goes through, he's not going to really bother. His mind isn't going to be disturbed. But if the kid gets the sweets that time, then, you know, basically the parent has set themselves up for every time they go through that counter. And it's a little bit the same with us and our minds. If we want something which is not going to be good for our Krishna consciousness, and we give into it, okay, just this once, let my mind have this. Or if we say, okay, mind, you can have that at another time, you can have that later, don't worry about it right now, and then it's forgotten. But the more times that we give in to the ragings and the tantrums of the mind, the worse it becomes, and the more difficult the mind is to control. Udared atmanatmanam atmanam avasarayat atmaiva hyatmano bandhu atmaiva ripu atmana. The mind one should control oneself, one should elevate oneself with the mind and not degrade oneself, because the mind is a friend of the living entity and the enemy as well. So we've got our own minds, then we also have to deal with the minds of the people that we're associating with, which can actually, in Kali Yuga, it can actually be quite a difficult thing. It can be quite a heavy thing. And people, in their minds, they can get into these patterns of rage where, you know, I've heard it described like the whole body is just covered by wounds and someone just has to touch it and the rage comes out. And to give in to these things and to let old wounds come up and to let the mind have its own way, it's really not a good idea. So what's missing really here is we've got a priest who he's a paid person. He resents his profession. He can't really do whatever he wants because he's actually taking money or he's taking wealth for that. So as soon as we put ourselves in a position where we're being paid for something, it completely restricts our freedom instantly. We have to be people pleasers. We have to do what's expected in order to get that money coming in. So for a Brahmin not to take a wage is actually a wonderful thing. Then you can have freedom for your mind, you can have freedom for your speech, you can be true to your own heart, and you can actually be peaceful. So what's missing here in the picture is Krishna. What would be pleasing to Krishna? Is it pleasing to Krishna to say to your daughter, okay, you can choose what punishment you want for your friend? And she says, she will be my servant for the rest of her life. Now, it's pretty strong thing to do to a young girl. It means that Shamishtra will never be allowed to be married. And actually, we can see that actually wasn't possible for her. Because Devayani was allowed to choose the punishment, she chose something really foolish, in a sense, because Shamishtra ended up being her co-wife, and they both had children. And it ended up being very, very difficult. Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports, he says that Shamishtra became the slave. So we've all come into the world to control. And without being very Krishna consciousness, this tendency to control others may become very strong. And here's the example of a young girl. She's been given free will to control. And because she has intelligence and she has knowledge of the scriptures, but she has a very, very strong desire to control, which actually, in the long run, to bring a beautiful young girl into your home, is with your husband, it's a risky business, and it does turn out to backfire. It ends up backfiring. She has to become furious all over again because Shamishtra becomes her co-wife. It was just too difficult for Shamishtra to live and see her best friend having children and having a husband, and she's just the family slave. So she's obviously a powerful person, and she also is strong enough to win over Yayati. So without Krishna being at the center, without us understanding that providence will throw things at us which are not very pleasant and that we can learn to tolerate them, without having the final goal of Krishna consciousness, material miseries are absolutely bound to happen at every point. And until we can see Krishna in the heart of all living entities and to see everyone equally, then we will naturally want to control people. The very first verse in the Bhagavad Gita that Dharma Kshetra Kurukshetra Samaveta Yusava Mamekam Pandavas Jaiva Kema Kuravita Sanjaya. The verse Dhritarashtra's dividing his sons and the sons of Pandu. And Prabhupada points it out in the purport that because he's making this division, this me and mine, and because he's not seeing Krishna equally in everyone's heart and allowing things to go according to Krishna's plan, he's trying to make our own plans. It often, always backfires. And then when things backfire, we tend to blame situations for our suffering. You know, blaming my profession, blaming my situation. Something else is the cause of my suffering. Something else is pressuring me and causing me to suffer like this. Whereas the devotee will take the situation, will take the stand that the material energy is giving me what I need, the material energy is giving me what I deserve, and this is for my ultimate benefit. And I don't need to blame anyone else for my faults. I don't need to blame anyone else for the horrible things that may be happening to me, because there's two things happening here. One is that I'm being purified, and two is that I'm getting the results of my karma. And Krishna is stopping me from going forward into doing things again and again which will cause further problems and further anxiety. Sharmistra, she's able to see, oh, this is providence, this is meant to happen, when she gets her husband. But she's not able to see that when she starts to lord it over. And everybody in this whole situation is in a frenzy. No one is peaceful. Two verses about being peaceful in the Bhagavad Gita. Nasti buddhiya yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayata shantir ashantasya kuta sukham. If a person is not connected with Krishna, if he's not connected with the Supreme in Krishna consciousness, he can neither have steady intelligence or a peaceful mind. And without a peaceful mind, what is the question of happiness? In the purport, Prabhupada points out that the mind, it must have a final goal, and that the final goal must be Krishna. So without Krishna being at the center of every situation, then everyone will simply be miserable. And we can see here, Sharmistra's father is terrified of what's going to happen to him. He's like a little puppy who rolls on the ground and shows its stomach because, you know, do whatever you want to me, I'm your surrendered. He's not surrendered from love and affection and feeling that this spiritual master is going to help me advance in Krishna consciousness. So he's terrified, miserable and happy. What is the question of happiness when there's no peace? He's miserable. Shukracharya, he's working for money and he doesn't like his job. He's controlled by his daughter. He's completely lost to the situation. He knows the goal of life. He knows about Krishna consciousness, but he chooses not to follow that. The two girls end up fighting. How can two girls who are fighting with their best friends be happy? They must be miserable in that situation. And Yayati ends up in a difficult situation as well. He marries someone who he knows he shouldn't really marry because this Pratyaloma is not a good marriage, but he's partly attracted to her. And then when he's approached by Sharmista, he's not able to control his mind in that situation either. He ends up being cursed to give up his youth. So these things are quite strong and quite dynamic miseries for every single person involved in this story. The suffering here is unlimited. You know, in the translation it says Shukracharya is very much aggrieved. But they're all in such a tangled web. And Devayani's in that position in the first place of not being able to marry a Brahmin because she cursed someone. So we can see how things build on each other and how the situation escalates and becomes worse and worse. And an absolutely brilliant example for us when things happen and we don't stand back and make a good choice. We don't stand back and think, well, actually, what should I do here to please Krishna? If it's just, what shall I do to get my own back? I cannot tolerate not being in charge. I cannot tolerate being the best person in this situation. And even in our devotional lives, because of habits from the past, we have to watch it. We can see that someone's controlling us, and our natural inclination is to slap back or, you know, kick out. We can understand that actually I can sit back here, and it's not my duty to control this other person. And to remember, I actually don't have to do that. I can just leave it. I can connect with my own Krishna consciousness. And I can let Krishna deal with that. It's actually Krishna's job at this point. If I want to control someone, if I have the desire to get back at somebody else, I'm not performing my own prescribed duty. I'm jumping into a point where I'm doing Krishna's work. And I'm certainly not going to make such a good job of it as Krishna would make. And I'm certainly going to Shishi Radha London Gokulananda Sitram Lakshman Hanuman Shishi Goni Tai Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah, I'm certainly not going to make as good a job of it as Krishna would do, so much better than giving in to my mind, much better than that is to sit back and to tolerate, to see the situation as it is, and to let Krishna do the work. So, at the end of it all, our attachments bring us so much pain and anxiety. Our attachment for the things that we want for ourselves, the attachment for the things that we want for our friends, or our children, or our family members, they definitely bring us an incredible amount of pain. And at the very end of it all, we have to give up our attachment for every single thing. I remember in Vrindavan being with one lady who was about to leave her body, Mula Prakriti. And just the day before she left her body, she was trying to sit up. She was just trying to move a little bit to sit up, and she couldn't sit up. She couldn't move. So Krishna Kumari was there looking after her, and she said, "Can you now renounce this? You are never in this lifetime going to be able to sit up again. Can you renounce this? Can you give this up?" And it will come to that for all of us. And as we go along, Krishna gives us loads of little chances to practice giving up our desire to lord it over, giving up our desire to fight back or to control or to put things, make things fair that just aren't fair. The world's not fair. And things will happen to us that are not fair. Can we give up that desire? Slowly, bit by bit, chance by chance. And Krishna gives us lots and lots of time to practice. The more we don't go along with it, the harder it becomes and the more we suffer. Lovely example of the Pandavas and Draupadi. They were all devoted to Draupadi, and at the end, when the Pandavas decided to leave their body, they decided to walk up to the Himalayas. They didn't ask Draupadi to go along with them, but when she found out that they were going, she followed along behind. So they were walking up the hills, up the mountains, and Draupadi was the first one to fall. She just fell at the side of the road. She didn't have any glorious funeral ceremony. She didn't have anything. They just left her. They did not turn back. And one by one, excepting for Yudhisthira, they all fell. And none of them turned back. Now, who could have such wonderful, loving relationships with each other, those five brothers and Draupadi? They had incredibly close friendship, helping each other out. They were all Krishna conscious. They were all very devoted to each other. And at the end, they all fell down to die. And no one turned round. They just kept going. Every single desire, every single hope for glorification or aggrandizement or for material comfort or sense gratification, every single one of those things, we have to walk past it and not look back. The more we look back, the more we want, the more it clings, like the more it sticks to us. Like the tarmac baby, the more you touch it, you get stuck to the tar, you put your other hand to push yourself away, you get stuck again. All of the things that we want, which are separate from Krishna, we have to give them all up, one by one. Not an easy job. Good luck to everyone, and good luck to me. Okay, any discussion points? Yeah.